First Chronicles 19, verse 13. Be of good courage, and let us, well, just preach on the next two words. Behave ourselves. And let us behave ourselves, but then a word you don't hear much about anymore, valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in His sight. You know what he just said? He said, let's do our part and trust God with the rest. Read that one more time, verse 13. Be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God, and let the Lord do that which is good in His sight. Let's pray. Dear Father, please help us, minister to us, and God be glorified at Cornerstone Baptist Church today. Father, I pray you'll take this unworthy vessel, this frail creature of dust, and may the Holy Ghost do through me what I can't. Because you're a merciful God, we ask it knowing that you treat us better than we deserve. And we pray you'd help now and bless. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. You ever heard this statement? There are some things you just don't do. Y'all know what I'm talking about? There are some things you just don't do. Or maybe a parent says to a young boy or a young girl, don't do that. And he says, why? They love that question, don't they? He says, why? And mama says, well, you just don't do that. She says, now don't do that. And he says, why? And she says, well, you just don't do that. That really didn't answer the question. You just don't do that. And he says again, why? And she says, well, it's just not right. Don't do that. And he says it again, why? There's just some things, son, you don't do. But why? Because I said so. And that's supposed to be the final answer. Right? Right. You know, you can't always give an answer. I mean, there are just some things you just don't do. But we don't necessarily know why. It's funny that you want to use that with your kids, but you don't want me to use it with you. I can't give you a verse for everything. I mean, don't misunderstand, I can give you principles in the Bible. I live a lot of my life by Bible principles. I can't necessarily take you to a particular verse that says I shouldn't do certain things on Sunday, but I just don't do them. Because Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not the Sabbath. It's the Lord's day. Acts chapter 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Revelation chapter 3. I can give you scripture on it. I can give you principles on it. And since it is the Lord's day, I'm going to give Him the day, not just an hour on Sunday morning. It is the Lord's day, and so there's certain things I won't do on Sunday. I can't say that it's necessarily wrong. I just know that by not doing those things, the Sunday is more sacred than it would be if I start doing those things. Oh, my kids know Sunday's a special day. Amen. And I can't necessarily always explain to you why. But there's just some things you just don't do. You know, I can't take it a verse that says when your little four-year-old walks out the door that he's not supposed to hit the preacher in the stomach. But you just don't do that. You know what I'm talking about? I can't give you a verse on it, but just one of those things, you just don't do that kind of stuff. And we tell our kids that all the time. So I'm driving at something, of course, and that is that last Sunday I preached the last Sunday morning on why men slept or while men slept. And preaching on while men slept, I was talking about spiritual sleep and said that Americans went to sleep and turned this country over to pagans. Our country's in a mess. What happened? Brother Sam came up to me later and he said, you know, you're talking about my generation. We blew it. We messed up. We dropped the ball. Brother Sam's in his 80s. He's right. It's his generation. It's the 1950s and 60s that a bunch of Christians and a bunch of patriotic Americans dropped the ball and let pagans come in and take over. While men slept. That's what I talked about last week. You can't sleep when you're on guard duty. In the Civil War, that meant hanging. Because you jeopardize lives. And let me say something to you, parents. You're on guard duty. Can't sleep. Then last Sunday night, we discussed the failure of men to train other men to cultivate character. So I'm going to preach on that today. I said then that the pursuit of pleasure and prosperity replaced biblical leadership. We got more caught up in pursuing pleasure and prosperity than we did training up our children to live right. And somebody else trained our children. I talked about mature youth and how they ought to have a disciplined life. I've taught young people now for years that there's three areas you can test your self-discipline. Your eating habits, your sleeping habits, and your spending habits. If you can't drive by a fast food that's got large drinks for a dollar, without it feeling like there's a huge magnet sucking your vehicle into the parking lot, you have a lack of discipline. If you cannot, listen, some of you think you've got to go to Walmart three times a day. Lack of discipline. It affects your spending habits. So I said, check your discipline with your eating habits, your spending habits, and your sleeping habits. And that's just a way to check your discipline. Now, what I'm going to do this morning, I don't even know what I'm going to call this message yet. I'll have to title it later. I might entitle it, I'm a Mess. If I could get you to develop in the next 2 minutes the attitude, I'm a mess, you could handle this. You could even have a good time. But if you think that you are the epitome of character and integrity, and that when we look up character in Webster's, it's got your picture beside it, you're probably not going to like this message. Because I really do believe that most of us would have to say when it comes to character, I'm a mess. That the unsaved, lost, hell-bound sinners in the 40s and 50s had more character than Christians do in 2015. So how do you know that? They at least went to work every day. When they were sick. When they didn't feel like it. When there was something important going on. They just went to work. Why? Because they got paid to go to work. Why? Because they had to pay their bills. People used to pay their bills. The government didn't pay them. The church didn't pay them. People paid their bills. I'm talking about character this morning. And I'd like for you to just admit that when it comes to certain issues of character, you're a mess. I tell church members all the time, how about if you had a job where you just showed up 1 out of 3 days? You wouldn't be a very good employee. Some of you are not very good church members. You're welcome. You've talked yourself into justifying what you're doing when you know it's just a lack of character. You're not committed. Boy, everybody okay? If you're upset now, just hold on. Develop in the next 30 seconds. We're running out of time. I'm a mess! In the text, 1 Chronicles chapter 19, verse 13, he says, be of good courage and let us behave ourselves valiantly for our people and for the cities of our God. What is that word courage? It's moral and inward courage, not physical courage. Listen, whipping somebody don't make you a man. It's not talking about physical courage. It's talking about inner, moral courage. It's talking about behaving ourselves in a right kind of way. It even uses that word valiantly, which means stout-hearted. But what I want to focus on before we get to the real meat of the message is it says, for our people. You know what character and integrity is? It's about others. It's not about me. And that's where I see such a lack of character in America. It's all about me and my rights. And what I want. And now we have children suing their parents. Amen. I've often said that as go the manners, so go the morals. And as go the morals, so go the marriages. And that's what we're seeing in America now. Young men who have no character. They'll get that girl pregnant, but they won't marry her. And they won't take care of her. He's no man at all. He has no character at all. had some character, he wouldn't have done that to her. Amen. He'd have waited until he said, I do. Had a ring on his finger. But he has no character. Why? Because it's all about him. Young ladies, when a boy says to you, if you really love me, you say, if you really love me, you'd honor my daddy. You'd honor my father's wishes if you really love me. And so as go the manners, so go the morals, and as go the morals, so go the manners. We've lost our moral compass in America. We are facing a character crisis in America. We use that word character without ever really defining it. It has a lot of different definitions. It could be talking about a symbol or a letter. You write down characters on a piece of paper. It could be the work of an engraver who makes a mark with his tool. That's a character. It could be a distinguishing attribute like virtue. It could mean valiant, like stout-hearted or brave or courageous. One word that character brings to mind and is in all the dictionaries is an image. In other words, that you can see, there's a word that I think is connected to this called a caricature. And it'll be the image of someone. And you see them and you immediately know, you'll say, well, that's Ben Franklin. No, that's not Ben Franklin. That's an image of Ben Franklin. You understand what I'm saying? It's called an image. I believe that's what Jesus was. According to Hebrews chapter 1, He's the express image of His Father. And you know what the Bible says? He's conforming you to His image. And if you and I were people of character, they'd see more of Christ in us. We're to be His image. Jesus Christ's character is to live through us. That word character often means simply image. It means chivalrous. But I like that word image because the Bible says over there in 1 Peter 2:3 that Jesus was gracious. Matthew 11, He was meek. You know, I think about Jesus Christ. He went 40 days without eating. And didn't complain. That's quite a bit of character, if you ask me. I mean, stop and think about that. You don't ever see Jesus complaining or whining or murmuring. Had too much character. It has to do with discipline. It has to do with manners. It has to do with integrity. The Bible says over there in Proverbs chapter 20, the just man walketh in his integrity. Contractors, engineers used to talk about the integrity of steel. They'd say it rings true. That integrity that we need to have as men where we ring true to God. Character is moral excellence which does right out of an inward standard. Character is putting something on the inside of a young man, something on the inside of a young lady where it doesn't matter whether it's Friday night at the ball game or Sunday morning in a Sunday school class or Wednesday night in a master clubs class or Saturday afternoon out with a bunch of her friends or his friends. They'll do right because of what's on the inside. Circumstances will not dictate what they do. This thing called character is important. One man said it has to do with what we are, not just what we do. It's why we're called human beings and not human doings. It is what we be. Are you with me? Character is what we be. It's established, strong, inner principles. Benjamin Franklin said, nothing is more important to the public welfare than to form and train up youth in wisdom and virtue. That's a pretty strong statement. Bob Jones Sr. said, you can borrow brains, but you can't borrow character. I told you last week, too much talent without character is dangerous. But practically no talent with a lot of character is good. Amen. You want your kids to be smart. You want them to be the most likely to succeed. You want them to be the MVP. You want them to be the queen of the ball. You want them to be all those things. I'd rather have character. Yeah. Pro athletes making millions of dollars a year and can't pay their bills. Yep. No character. People in churches making a lot of money, but no character. Can't pay their bills. owe people money. The list is endless. So I gave you an outline last week, which I'm going to preach this morning. Told you I would. What does your character do? Number one, it glows in the dark. Character glows in the dark. What do I mean that? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that you and I are to shine in a perverted world. You and I are to shine as darkness in this world, as light in this dark world. You and I are to make a difference. We're to glow in the dark. I want to just read you a passage real quick about a fellow named Job. You're very familiar with Job. You don't have to look this up. You know that it's there. You know what it says about him in Job chapter 2. Here's what God said. The Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil," watch this, "and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." He said, "Man, I've taken his family, I've taken his flocks, I've taken his fortune, I've taken his fame, and he still won't cuss me." And we don't even get dessert and we're ready to kill somebody. Because the world revolves around us. It's all about me. The family's going down the road, and one wanted to go to Wendy's, one wanted to go to Hardy's. I didn't want to go here. And you fuss for the next 30 minutes because you didn't get your way. Why? Because you have no character. I tell you what, if you want to say amen this morning, just say I'm a mess. I think every time I say something like that, y'all just say, "But we're a mess, preacher." We're a mess. It's amazing what makes us whine and pout, because we're a mess. We're like those people on the Titanic. Y'all know the story, man. I've had them stories so many times. All these people are fixing to die, and they've only got so many boats. And you know what the motto was? Women and children first. And so some men were putting on dresses. Read the stories. That's us. Most of us men would have been putting on a dress. We won't even let a little girl go in front of us at the Vacation Bible School. We don't even want ladies going before us at the Wednesday night meal. Might not be any of that left when I get up there. I'm a mess. Are we a mess? Is anybody getting this besides me? I'm not the only mess in here. I know better than that. We're talking about character glows in the dark. One of the words I like I don't know why I didn't know this, but the word virtue. Proverbs 31 says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" Boaz said about Ruth, "All the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman." What does Proverbs 31 say about a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. Listen to me, young people. By the way, here's what I didn't know. When virtue is used in the Bible, it's describing a woman. That's the word virtue. Now, with a man, it's integrity. Or something else. But the times it's used as a descriptive term, it's talking about women. And man is talking about integrity. Listen to me, young men, young ladies. Listen to me. Let me tell you how most young people make decisions nowadays. They make decisions based on whim, feelings, their flesh, or public opinion. You better learn to make your decisions based on conviction and character. Are you going to do that? Don't do it just because everybody else is doing it. Oh, the world's motto for years now has been, if it feels good, do it. If it makes you happy, do it. Whatever suits your fancy, you've got your rights. Don't worry if it hurts anybody else. It's not their life, it's your life. That's the sad motto of America. Listen to me, young people. If you're going to listen, you're about 14, 15, you're going to be making some huge decisions in the next 10 years. Don't make them on whim. Don't make them on feeling. Don't make them on popularity. Make them on conviction. Get you some conviction in your heart so that when you're out there on Friday night in the heat of the moment and somebody's putting something in your face, somebody's putting something in your hand, you can say, "No, I will not defile myself with that." Character!
Not feelings, not whim, not emotions.
How are you going to make your decisions? Character glows in the dark. Would you say Jesus was a man of character? Integrity, virtue, honor. You know what I've noticed? Even lost people like people of character. It's a trait that people admire. Character is admirable. Lack of character is deplorable. Character is attractive and lack of character is repulsive. Character is obedience. Lack of character is rebellion. Character is responsible. Lack of character is irresponsible. Character is truthful. Lack of character is deceitful. Character is sincere. Lack of character is hypocritic. Or hypocrisy, if you want to call it that. I would say that character is forgiving. Lack of character is bitter. Character is joyful. Lack of character is full of self-pity. Character is self-control. Lack of character is self-indulgence. Character is orderly. Lack of character is sloppy. I took them to Deuteronomy on Thursday night at that Bible school and showed them how God likes things clean and decently and in order. And God told them, said, when you're out there camping out, He said, make sure you clean everything up because I might want to come down there and walk around. So keep it clean. That's character. People don't like me talking like this because they think, well, I don't think God cares about that stuff. Read the book. I mean, the Bible says, you know what the Bible says? Who can come to God? Those that have clean hands and a pure heart. You know what the Bible says in Revelation? When the marriage of the Lamb takes place, He said, there's my wife. She is clean. She's wearing white linen, clean and white. Clean and white. You know what the Bible says about the soldiers coming out of heaven on white horses with Jesus Christ? It says they're in robes that are clean and white. Jesus likes things clean. That's why the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Amen. God likes things clean. I tell people, I don't want an extravagant building for Cornerstone. I want a clean building. God's not impressed with the chandeliers. He's impressed with there being no fingernails in the pews.
Yes, amen.
Can you imagine what some of the Bible-believing brethren are going to think about this sermon? He preaches on fingernails in the pews. God likes things clean. God likes character. God likes things done decently and in order. I could go on and on and on, but I'm simply saying character is attractive. Lack of character is repulsive. There was a letter found written from parents to Lackland Air Force Base. It said, our son was nothing but trouble. Weird hair, weird clothes, ill-mannered. He was a mess. We expected he'd get kicked out of the Air Force. But then he came home from boot camp and we were shocked at his looks. And the yes sirs and the no sirs and the yes ma'ams and the no ma'ams and the table manners. We couldn't believe it. Dear sirs, if this is our son, thank you. If it's a mistake and it's not our son, can we keep him anyway? I think it's sad that the military, at least used to be, that the military would do with the subjects of discipline and self-restraint and work ethic, etc., what parents should have done before they ever got to the military. Character glows in the dark, guides in decisions, and guards in doubt. Somebody said, live in such a way that if someone says something bad about you, nobody will believe it. Big difference between character, young people, which is what you are, and reputation, which is what people think you are. Did you hear me? There's a big difference between character, what you are, and reputation, what people think you are. If you're a person of character, God will help you overcome your reputation. Only you can destroy your character. Others can destroy your reputation. Only you can destroy your character. Character is what you be, not what you do. Because if what you be is right, what you do will be right. You see, Joseph may not have had much of a reputation, but what a man of character. Joseph's reputation was ruined. He ended up in prison for messing around with Potiphar's wife. But where did Joseph end up? Second in command over all of Egypt. Not because of his reputation, because of his character. Listen, the Bible says in Psalm 25, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me." Our nation is in trouble because we've lost our character. Emerson said, "Men of character are the conscience of the society to which they belong." I think one of the greatest quotes I've read over the last few years is from Samuel Adams. He said, "A general disillusion of principles and manners will more surely overthrow the liberties of America than the whole force of a common enemy. While the people are virtuous, they cannot be subdued. But when they lose their virtue, they will be ready to surrender their liberties to the first external or internal invader. If virtue and knowledge are diffused among the people, they will never be enslaved. This will be their great security." But once they lose their virtue, once they lose their character, just about any enemy will overthrow them. Another man said, "Virtue is the oxygen of a free society." And as we've lost virtue and character and integrity in America, we're losing our ability to govern ourselves. And because we are now such a loose, immoral, lack of character society, we get more and more government. And none of us like it. But we didn't take control when we had the chance. And now we're out of control. Character guarantees dependability. What I mean by that is trust. You know what it says over in Proverbs 31 about that virtuous woman? Her husband doth safely trust in her. Can you be trusted with a credit card? A checkbook? Can you? Can you be trusted with a vehicle, teenager, that when daddy says, "Okay, I'm going to let you take it, but you better take care of it," that you guard that thing like it was yours and you don't speed and you don't squeal tires and you don't show off? Because that thing costs money. Young people, you better marry somebody that has some character. Let me tell you this, a beautiful girl with no character is a curse. An average girl with character will look beautiful to you. Amen. Can you be trusted with a cell phone? Can you be trusted with the internet? You have character? Something pops up on the right side of the screen, so you just quickly X out. That's what character does. Lack of character says, "You know what, I think I'll see what that is." Lack of character is going to get you in trouble. Can you be trusted with a video game? Can you be trusted to have two or three friends over to your house? To go into your bedroom and watch what you want to watch?
Amen.
Yeah. I'm thankful that My girls, for the most part, have had friends over the years. And I'm sorry if this offends anybody, but usually they'd check with me before they let their kids watch something. And it shouldn't be that way. Y'all just watch what's safe and not have to worry about it. But I'm at least thankful for that kind of character. Amen. Can you be trusted with kids at your house? We're talking about character, guarantees, dependability, trust. Call it what you want to. Character builds trust by being responsible. Character closes what it opens. If character turns it on, character turns it off. If character borrows it, character returns it. If character moves it, character replaces it. If character borrows it, character pays it back. If character doesn't know, character says, I don't know. Character doesn't start a sentence by saying, I don't know if this is true, but I'm going to tell you anyway. Isn't that sad? It's time for that echo again. I'm a mess. I'm a mess. Character is a gauge for the depth of your maturity. You know what I've noticed over the years? After pastoring for 35 years and now the same people, many of you, for 25, 26 years, 27 years since 1988, I'm amazed at the parents who want to talk to me about how I think their children are doing versus the parents who just don't want to know what I think. That'd be a red flag if I was a parent. That I've never once asked anybody else what they thought about how I'm training my children. Man alive, when we start having kids, we were anxious to find out what so-and-so thought. And how did you handle this? And how did you handle that? And do you think this is good? Do you think that's good? I don't know about you, but I believe in the multitude of counselors their safety. By the way, young couples, don't be afraid to ask grandma and grandpa. Now, grandma and grandpa, don't get mad when they don't do everything your way. Amen. But young couples, you ought to want to hear from somebody. Is that not just common sense? Say, why? It just is. Why? There's just some things you do, and there's other things you don't do. Amen. Character. A gauge for the depth of your maturity. Young ladies, don't marry a boy that's irresponsible. I got a blessing. The other day, Paul bought him a truck. I don't know how many people he checked with before he bought that truck, but he checked with a lot of people. And my. Hadn't had it a week and the starter went out on it. But guess who was replacing the starter when I pulled in the driveway? He was. That's a good thing. You say, well, he probably put it in wrong tearing you went up. That'd be a good lesson. See, that might cost him $300 or $400. He'll get it right next time. Some of you are going to be asking somebody else to put your starter in the rest of your life. I admire a fellow crawl under a truck and try to learn something. Amen. That's a good thing. And learn to be responsible. Learn how to take a light switch, undo it, and put a new one in. Hey, young men, learn how to unscrew a light bulb and put a new one in. Y'all agree we're really in a mess in this country. People aren't responsible anymore. Everybody else will do it. Somebody else will take care of me. Somebody else will pay my bills. I don't know how many people when Ron and I were in seminary in the 1980s, some of our preacher friends would go out and buy a new car and then Mama would pay the payments. Make me mad. Some of my preacher friends are getting financial trouble and just call home. Mom and Daddy send the money. Some of you are going to do that with your kids and ruin them. Hey, if they're big enough, bold enough, old enough, brave enough to get married and have kids, let them take care of them. Amen.
You're going to have a spoiled, rotten 40-year-old on your hands. But the government will take care of them. Is that not where we're at? Y'all not getting mad at me, are you? You're supposed to be saying, we're a mess, we're a mess, we're a mess! Young ladies, don't marry a boy that's self-centered. Don't marry a boy that's lazy. Young men, don't marry a girl who's rebellious against her daddy. If she won't say yes, sir, to her daddy, she'll probably rebel against you too. If she says to you, well, my mom and daddy will be mad if I do this, but I don't care, I'm mad at them anyway. You don't want to marry a girl like that. Get you a girl with some character. It's more important than education, more important than talent. Character's on time. Character's honest. Character's thankful. Character's orderly. Character's loyal. Character's obedient. Character puts others first. Character. It's missing in our country. George Washington wrote rules of civility and decent behavior before he was 16. He got them from some French Jesuits. He wrote them in the 1500s. And he hand-wrote those. He took them and copied them and hand-wrote them. And now there's a book out there called George Washington's Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior that he got before he was 16. He wrote them himself. He copied them himself. I just thought I'd share a few of them with you. I just thought these were interesting. This, you know, written in the 1500s, and then he copied them in what? When was George Washington? What day? When did he die? 1780s, maybe? Okay, somewhere in the late 1700s. Here's one. In visiting the sick, do not presently play the physician if you be not knowing therein. Did you hear that? Not everybody wants to know the cure that you've got. In visiting the sick, do not presently play the physician if you be not knowing therein. If you deliver anything witty and pleasant, abstain from laughing thereat yourself. Well, there's just some things you don't do. I didn't say this was right or wrong. Y'all are getting quiet on me. Listen to this one. Wear not your clothes foul, ripped, or dusty. I wonder what George Washington would think about holes in your clothes, and they're brand new. You paid the company to put those holes there. In your apparel, be modest and endeavor to accommodate nature rather than to procure admiration. Think before you speak. Pronounce not imperfectly, nor bring out your words too hastily, but orderly and distinctly. Whisper not in the company of others. That rule's been broken a dozen times this morning. I didn't say it was Bible. Don't get mad at me. I'm just saying George Washington liked these rules. Listen to this one. Make no show of taking great delight in your victuals. Feed not with greediness. Cut your bread with a knife. Lean not on the table. Neither find fault with what you eat. You like that one, don't you? I'm wanting Rhonda to write a chapter on don't fuss about the food. That bothers her, even at youth camp. How about this one? Put not another bite into your mouth till the former be swallowed. Americans are a mess. But I didn't finish the rule. Listen to the way he put this. Put not another bit. Another bite. It might be bit. I'm not sure. Put not another bite in your mouth till the former be swallowed. Let not your morsels be too big for your jowls. I hadn't heard that word in a long time. Jowls. I think that means you don't have to put so much in your mouth. I'm not going to finish the sermon this morning. I'm going to give you an illustration. Let me tell you why there's a lack of character. I got to studying about Jesus Christ in Hebrews chapter 10, 11, and 12. Because when you get to Hebrews 12, here's what it says. It says, for consider Him. And you know what? We've preached so much on Hebrews 12 where it says, consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. And we just come to that consider Him and we forget that the word before it is for. And I thought, okay, what's the context here? And I went all the way back to Hebrews 10. Where in Hebrews 10 it says, forsaking not the assembling of yourselves together. And it starts talking about a lack of commitment in the assembly. And people who are not serious and committed. Then you come to Hebrews 11 and it gives you a whole list of people who were serious and who were committed. And the Bible talks about all the things they endured for the faith. Are you listening?
Yeah.
Hebrews 10 is about a lack of commitment. Hebrews 11 is about all those who were seriously committed and endured all kinds of things. Read the end of chapter 11. It's gruesome. And then he comes to chapter 12 and says, now, wherefore, seeing that we are so compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And goes on to say, let us run with patience, which means endurance, the race that is set before us. And then goes on to say, consider Him that endured. And you know what character does? It endures some things. I came up with one of the greatest definitions on manners I'd ever heard. I got it out of a book about George Washington. Small sacrifices for the benefit of others. You know what? Why we need manners? Because it benefits others. It's about others. You know why we have no manners? Because it's all about us. You know what character does? Character goes to a cross to please the one who sent him. Character goes to a garden and says, not my will, but thine be done. With tears rolling down his face, as it were, drops of blood, Jesus said, it's not about me. Whatever pleases my Father goes to Calvary and is crucified for others. And we won't even give up a pew, give up a seat, cover our mouth. We don't care. It's all about me. Saints, let's develop some character for our kids. And not beat them over the head with it, because you know why we're frustrated with our kids usually? Because we didn't do our job. Character. Let us behave ourselves valiantly. Why? For our people. Not about me. It's all about pleasing Him. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Let's stand.